Before the video starts, I want to thank everyone who has helped the channel grow so much. Without you guys, I wouldn't be here right now. Also, if we can get this video to 100 likes, that would be super cool too. Alright, without further ado, let's get into things. I'm looking for some type of explanation. I meant to write this after it happened, on 8/13 of 2020, but was a little shaken up and tired of explaining it to friends. My boyfriend, who's 22-year-old male, and I, a 21-year-old female, took a road trip to Estes Park, Colorado. We left on 8/12 around 8 p.m. and arrived to our Airbnb lodge at 10 a.m. on 8/13. I discussed with the host that our check-in time would be changing from 3 p.m. to 10 a.m. He confirmed it and was changed and set. Our lodge was about a 15-minute drive up the mountains in the middle of nowhere. The place was family owned. We arrived to the lodge and it's empty. I got an instant bad vibe, but thought I was overreacting due to the post I read. This place has 32 rooms, 2 stories, 16 rooms per floor split symmetrically, on each side of the lobby, creating one long hallway per floor. There were about 3 cars in the parking lot, confusing me, due to the popularity of the Airbnb ratings. We ring the bell and the owner comes out confused. We say we're here to check in, and he got no word of an earlier check-in. He gets us checked in and goes over the list of rules for about 8 minutes. He shows us our room, first floor corner, room number 111. I'm into numerology and was excited. Meanwhile, a lady in running clothes is behind us observing. I thought she was in line, so I didn't think anything of it. When the owner wraps things up and gives us 2 keys to our room, we go back outside and grab our luggage. Upon walking out the front door, the lady in the running clothes, which I thought was still in line, was standing in front of the lodge, with a sly smile at us as we walked to our car. I didn't think too much of it, but wondered why she wasn't going on a run or talking to the owner. We grab our stuff and walk right back into the lodge and go to the right down the hallway. I caught an eerie man out of the corner of my eye from the left side of the hallway, behind us walking towards the lobby. My boyfriend goes, "Who the fuck is that guy?" I looked at my boyfriend as he said it, looked back at the man to get a better look, and there was no one in sight. We got to our room, had a view of the parking lot, not the backside full of nature as shown in the Airbnb pictures. The room was a lot smaller than shown, no fridge, microwave, and no deadbolt. There was marks left from the deadbolt locks, but looked like it had been removed. There was the second door outside to a shady balcony, and a view of the parking lot where our car was. Upset, I apologized for the room I picked, but all was well. We decided to go get some groceries and explore. The people in the grocery store were zombie-like. I often people watch, but what shook me was each person I looked at was already looking at me, and did not look away upon making eye contact. I concluded it was just a different town with different people. I travel a lot and I'm not a judgmental person. We hike a trail, I forgot the name, and find this clay-built structure with old fireplace remains. A native man, 22-year-old male, with braids, comes up to us and starts talking to us. We talk a while, very smooth. I felt like I knew him. We talked to him for a good 40 minutes. The conversation was smooth. He tells us he's along here from Vegas, sleeping in his car. He was really trying to get the name of the place we were staying at, but my boyfriend, Jay, wouldn't go much into detail after 3 different questions about it. I got a bad vibe and said we had to go. We get back to the lodge and go to our room. I asked Jay if he felt this place was off. He said no, but thought that the lady in the running clothes was odd. Upon talking, our one door connection to the hallway starts shaking, as if someone was trying to open it with a key, not quietly. Jay goes, "Hello?" No answer. Jay is also not a judgmental person. and has never believed in paranormal experiences. He opens the door and looks down, and a lady he described as witch-like person says in a panic,
I was just testing the key. I didn't know anyone was here.
We understood and brushed it off, but then I started thinking rationally. I told Jay I would understand if they were testing the key before 3 p.m., as they didn't expect us. But I look at my phone, and the time was 3:40 p.m., as groceries slash exploring took us about 4 hours. I also thought it was odd they were testing the key on the day of our arrival. He asked if we should look for a new place. I was happy as I was thinking the same. I began looking, and he kept the second outside door open just in case. Flies were constantly flying in, so he would have to have the door open for about 5 minutes, closed for about 2 minutes, and he did this about 4 times, and often went out to the shared porch. A man was sitting outside 2 doors down. He didn't think anything of it. A huge fly flew in again, and we closed the outside door for a few minutes. Side note, it's completely silent here. It was very peaceful, and we could hear each sound of nature as our window was open. We were sitting on the bed and we hear a clear, sharp click right outside our place. Our eyes shoot up at each other and we're shocked and silent. He gets up slowly and goes to open the outside door, but cannot. It's completely jammed. He is a strong man and tried his hardest to open it. No luck. I start frantically panicking. We are now locked in our room from the outside, and are aware employees can get in our room from the inside the lodge. We go outside and try to open it from the porch, but no luck. I go in the car and FaceTime my mom and explain what's going on. I often claim paranormal things happening, and I sound like the boy who cried wolf. She wasn't buying it. Jay grabs the phone and says, I know she has said stuff like this before. This time it's different. It's not safe here. The staff acts like if they are going in on a plan. She gets more serious and says she's booking a hotel in Boulder. All we have to do is go inside and pack. This was very difficult for me because I knew that if anything were to happen to us, now was the time. Jay told me to keep my mom on FaceTime and bring her with us. Upon walking to the stairs behind the building, a man on a bobcat comes flying by us. Jay said he stared at us the whole time. I was too afraid to look. We enter the most right side of the lodge where the room is, upon thinking how glad I was that there was no one down the hall. A guy and a girl appear on the opposite end and start walking towards us. We ran into the room and I set my phone up against the wall so my mom could see if anyone were to come in. I packed the fastest I've ever packed. I was in front of the bed as Jay steps around me, as the space was narrow. He pauses and goes, what the fuck? Under the bed, there was a rug. He lifts it up and we see a risen area of the floor. It looks as if it can be opened. He knocks on it. It's hollow. Beyond panicked, we take out our first load. The side stairs lead to go back and there was a man on a ladder working in the garage space that happened to be right under our room. He walks towards us and starts to say nothing. I notice Jay is picking up his speed, so I start running to the car. I told Jay I'm sorry, but I cannot go back in. My mom was still on the phone in the room. She later said the people there looked scary, but I don't know how slash when she would have seen them. Jay gets the second load and leaves his key in the room. It was the longest 5 minutes of my life waiting for him to get back to the car. We start to drive away as he remembers my key is still in my purse. I asked him to please run it back in the room and be safe. He comes back a minute later and said he had to leave it on the doorknob because the door was already locked. We felt really bad for leaving without saying bye, but generally did not feel safe enough to do so. This was the scariest experience of my life.
My name is Karina and I am 13 years old. This happened last weekend. I was with my brother-in-law and my sister on a road trip on a Sunday afternoon. We wanted to go somewhere where we have never been to before. During this whole quarantine thing, there really wasn't much that we could do, to be honest. It wasn't even my idea. I was just playing on my cell phone and they said, "Hey, we're going on a road trip." I remember asking where and they said, "We're not sure, we're just gonna go." "Sometimes it's best that way," my sister told me. We ended up going east to El Centro, California. There's absolutely nothing out there but a few stores. It's just nothing but dirt and hot weather. When we got there, I remember looking at the screen on the dash on the car and it said 118 degrees. That's the hottest I have ever felt ever in my life. When we stepped outside, parked in the shade, mind you, it still felt like we were sticking our head in an oven with a fresh frozen pizza being cooked. It was that gross. When you look around the town, it just looked deserted. I think we saw one guy riding on a bike, and that's it. There was just nobody out there. The buildings out there were trashed and destroyed. Sure, they had a couple of shopping plazas, but even those were pretty much closed. It was like a ghost town. That was definitely a waste of gas for my brother-in-law. I remember we went somewhere else called the Salton Sea. It was an even smaller desert town that had a really stinky smell in the air. We drove north parallel to the Salton Sea Lake. We ended up in Palm Desert. Finally, a desert that was actually eye-appealing. We ended our day in Idyllwild, a small little mountain town that's beautiful and cute with souvenir shops and coffee shops. But even then, by the time that we had arrived, it was completely closed. There was probably like two places open. By that time, I think that they were just ready to call it quits. I ended up falling asleep in the back seat, so let's just fast forward to when they were dropping me off back home to my mom's house. I said hello to my sister-in-law, Esther, and also my mom, who was in the kitchen when I had arrived. I talked to my mom a little bit, and she went into her bedroom, and I wanted to make myself something to eat. I was making myself a sandwich on the kitchen counter, when all of a sudden, I felt these large hands gripping on my right thigh leg tightly. At first, I thought it was my little nephew Johnny, as he's 3 years old and the height was equal to where I was being grabbed on my leg. When I turned my head to the right to tell him to let go, the pressure disappeared. There was nobody there. I searched around the kitchen with my eyes confused. I even shouted out to my sister-in-law if her kid was out. She said, "No, he's been asleep for a couple of hours." I suddenly had a chill go down the back of my spine. Who or what was grabbing onto my leg?
So, last night I had a dream. The dream started off at my childhood home with my mother. In the dream, I was the age that I am now. But it was just me and my mom, like it was before. She had my brothers. Inside the house, it was way different than what it looked like before. But I knew it was supposed to be like that house. But it also looked like my great-grandma's old house. So as the dream goes on, there was dolls in my room. Maybe about 6 different ones. All the dolls were the ones that my grandma used to have in her house. Weird, right? They all used to terrify me as a kid. Especially the porcelain ones. And the ones that remind me of Annabelle. In the dream, the doll started to tell me things. Not using a voice, but in my dream, I was getting really ready to go somewhere. And the dolls would do things like move the blinds, fall over, turn the lights off, etc. Freaked me out bad because I remember telling my mom, and her telling me to calm down. In the dream, I'd ask the dolls questions. Like, "Are you guys comfortable? Are you guys happy?" etc. And they would respond by using the blinds. I remember the exact feeling I had in the dreams because I woke up still feeling uneasy. So, as the dream goes on, my mom and I were leaving to go to work, but somehow ended at my grandma's old home. This is where it starts to get confusing. When I walked in, everyone was there, including my great-grandmother who passed away when I was 13. I'm 23 now. And my grandfather, who passed away 2 years ago. They welcomed me, gave me hugs. It felt real. I heard their voices. It was just weird how the dream was, because ever since my grandfather passed away, my family hasn't really had holidays together, or get-togethers like we used to. But in the dream, it was just like the old times. Even my uncle that my mom hates was there. I don't know, I just had to share this dream with someone. And I didn't want to bring it up to my mom or my grandma, because they would look at me like I was crazy. I woke up today crying and upset, because my grandpa's 2-year death anniversary just came up 2 days ago. Maybe the dream is just me thinking about him, but it was just weird that my great-grandma was there and him. Sorry for the long paragraphs. Also, if anyone can explain this why I had this dream, please do so. I would appreciate it. There's nothing special about me. I was raised in a Christian household with my mother, who is against paranormal beliefs. My father, who has never talked about it, and my grandmother, who does. But I only talked to her about the paranormal last year. About my house. It's a British house built in the 1940s. It was a home, a building for a church, and a female teacher's inhabitants. We have little more information on the lands. I swapped bedrooms when I was around 8 years old. My granddad had died the year before. I'd placed a story when I was around 9 or 10. I was tidying my bedroom. The house was empty apart from my grandmother on her floor. As my parents were out somewhere, my back was facing the glass corner cabinet filled with my ornaments. My windows were ahead of me and shut. I've always had a fear of them being open. So there I was tidying when I felt a warm, rhythmic air against my shoulder. I felt the air, or breath, about twice before turning my head in shock. Nothing was there. So I brushed it off. I returned to tidying, when what I describe as a hand was pressed against my left shoulder. I turned. Nobody was there. So I legged it out of the room. It's been so long since this happened, I struggle to believe it's true anymore. I made my own Ouija board when I was 13, as I read a few things about them and thought it would be something fun to do. I was alone apart from my grandma, like before, and took myself into the living room to play it. I went through the opening ritual, saying something like, "I'm here to talk to you, and not to cause any harm," etc. Then I asked some yes and no questions. I remember feeling a force driving me to the answer, as though I was not in control of my actions. I don't remember any of them apart from "What's your name?" And in response I got "WUJ." I was suspicious, so I went to Google Translate with my detect language, Polish for uncle. I'd never been to Poland, nor did I understand the language. I laughed it off, slightly unnerved, then said goodbye and put it away. I saw a dent in the sofa cushion when I sat back down. I thought maybe it was the light, so I took out my phone and recorded the spot that I saw the dent. The recording shook whenever I hovered over the spot. It was 2 a.m. and I was sleeping in my bed. Suddenly my phone rang and I picked it up to see it was my best friend. I was shocked because I knew that he would never call so late at night. I thought it was some emergency or something, so I picked up. As I picked up, I asked if everything was alright. He said yes and said that he just wanted to speak to me. I was very confused as to why he wanted to speak to me so late at night. P.S. He sounded very low and his voice was very soft. He is a loud and fun person. I told him that he sounded very off and if everything is alright. He just said that he wanted to talk to me and was missing me. We literally met yesterday. I was very confused as to why he was not at all an emotional person. Before I could ask anything, he said that he loves me as a friend and trusts me the most and will miss me. Then he hangs up. Before I could process anything, my other friend calls me. She said that my friend, who I was talking to on the phone right now, died in a car accident. I obviously knew she was joking. I told her that I had a conversation with him like a minute ago. She said that she wasn't kidding and that he died at 1:30 a.m. I just couldn't believe. She gave me a specific hospital location to visit. I visited and saw him dead on the bed. I couldn't hold my thoughts. I was so sad and confused. I confirmed with a doctor and they said that he had left us around 1:30 in the morning in the hospital. I told my friend about the incident, and she is not ready to believe. She said that his phone broke in the accident, so it's just impossible for anyone to make any calls. She asked me to show the call records, and to my surprise, our call was not there. I had no evidence to show that he spoke to me at 2 a.m. I still don't know how to explain this to anyone, but I am sure that I had that conversation with him that night. Rest in peace. So recently, I've been putting headphones to fall asleep with positive affirmation videos because I desperately want to boost my confidence and I'm trying new things. Anyways, yesterday I put a new video and went to sleep. My boyfriend was already asleep next to me. 20 minutes later, I was already lightly asleep. I wake up and see that my boyfriend is sitting on the bed towards me, and he just paused my video and just sat there staring at me. I asked him what's wrong, and he didn't answer. I figured out he was sleeping because he usually talks in his sleep and sometimes sits down. So I calmly helped him get back to sleep. And as soon as his head touched the pillow, the bed started shaking. I wasn't even laying down yet. It felt like a tiny earthquake. I went back to sleep while it was still moving. I wasn't tired anymore, but I put the video on and ignored the shaking until I fell asleep. I'm wondering if it was my brain messing with me, or it's something else. One night, I was on my way home from a particular hard day at work. I spaced out as I drive the familiar route. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that there was a shadow. At first, I did not think much of it. However, the shadow never seemed to vanish. So I looked over out of the passenger side of my SUV. This shadow appeared to be running along the fence beside my car. The more I acknowledged it, the more prominent it became. I had an overwhelming sense of dread, like this thing was after me, and if it did not get away, I was in some real trouble. So I hit the gas, trying to outrun it, but kept pace with my SUV. However, just as I was sure I would not get away, a tractor and a trailer drove past its headlight and hit the shadow person, and it vanished, like it could not survive in the light. I was on the phone with my friends and truly believe I encountered a shadow person that night. I drove home as fast as I could, feeling that hell itself was right behind me. This next one is a little more intense, and all takes place on the same day. Me and my older sister went to Gettysburg, PA, and made a day of walking the battlefield. As the sun went down, we went to do a ghost tour. It started off in the basement of an old bed and breakfast that had many different spirits. When we entered the basement, a table sat at the front of the room, with a variety of toys on it. As the tour guide told us of the history the old B&B had, and the events that had transpired during the Civil War, my sister screamed something had pulled her hair. The tour guide laughed and said that's just a little boy that died here. He likes teachers and caregivers. My sister nervously laughs and says, "Well, lucky me." As the guide finished the story and we were exiting, they stopped me and my sister and asked my sister to check her pockets. In her jacket picked was a red toy car that I clocked as we entered the basement at the beginning of the night sat on the table. Now it was my sister's pocket. But that is not the creepiest thing that has happened to us on the night. Now, this first half of this story, the sports focused on my sister. This time it was my turn, and unfortunately the spirit I encountered was no child. As her guide walked us across the battlefield, we stood at the edge of some woods. There was a sign that said, "Do not enter." I asked why we could not walk down that path. The guide told us that there is a Confederate soldier that haunted this path. And if you encroach on his territory, the spirit gets upset. However, this was an understatement. I asked if I could walk the path, and the guy said, "You can, but it's a very bad idea." Me being a brash in my late teens, said, "Well, ghosts can't hurt me, so what do I care if I upset him?" The second I crossed the soldier's territory, I had a bad feeling, like every fiber of my being was telling me to get out of there, but I ignored it and pushed on. As I got further in, I heard my guide yell, "Do not cross the fallen tree." "Yeah, right," I thought as I continued. About 100 yards in, I came across a tree. I came across the tree and put my foot on it to step over it. As if on cue, my body froze. Refusing to go further, the wind stopped. All sounds of nature stopped. I heard a sound of a horse walking and its neigh. Looking around, I saw no horse. It stopped in front of me, I would say 25 to 30 feet away. I heard a loud packing sound and a click. Next thing you know, I saw a flash of light and a loud bang. Feeling something whiz by my face, I turned around and ran out of the woods, noping the hell out of there, as fast as my legs could carry me. Getting out of the woods, I felt the same, asking the guide what the actual fuck happened. She said that this is how the soldier says hi, by shooting at intruders. So my next set of stories takes place in my house. So many strange things have happened there. I'll start with the little things first and work my way up to the creepier stuff. Well, inside of my house dwells the spirit of a little old lady, and she's been here since I was a child. Well, she's not an angry spirit, sometimes she does get a little rowdy. For example, at night, when it's just me in the house, I can hear her standing outside of my door talking. If I ask her to go away, she will leave me in peace. As a child, I actually slept in the room where she passed away. I slept in there all of my childhood, where I did not have any spooky things happen. Here, I felt that in its own right bore mentioning. This may be why the spirit is more active around me. My mom has always been a skeptic, and still was the whole way up to her pain. But one day, our personal Casper, the old lady, wanted to make herself known. So while me, my sister, and mom sat talking in my little sister's room, the bathtub turned on full blast, and the toilet flushed and the sink turned on. Another event that was more annoying than scary to me, at least. I was sitting downstairs watching the TV and the remote being on my side of the room. The next thing I know, the TV channels start to change. It stops on the news. I ask the spirit of the old lady to please stop and put back on my show. The TV goes back to the channel I was watching. Out of reflex, I said thank you, and I heard a whisper that said, "You're welcome." Now, these last two stories take place outside of my house. The first being after I got home from a hard day at work. I looked over and I saw two full-bodied apparitions. I could not make out the exact attire they were wearing, but I can tell you that they were old-school military uniforms. I looked away after I noticed them, and when I looked back, they were not there anymore. This last one honestly freaked me out, and it's short but creepy. I walked out of my car to get something, and at this point, I can't remember anymore, but as I walked up to the passenger side of the car, I grabbed my items and shut my door. I grabbed what I needed. An apparition appeared behind me and growled my name. I took off like a bat out of hell. When I looked back, I saw a dark shadow standing by my car, and it vanished as soon as I caught a glimpse of it. Bonus, starry sleep paralysis. I recently had a nightmare where a woman stood on all fours at the foot of my bed. I grabbed the nearest sharp object, which for some reason was a pencil. I stabbed her in the head. She did not bleed, which to me was the scariest thing, because I work under the "if it bleeds, it can be killed" philosophy. I woke up and was unable to move. Until I was able to move again, I could feel this overwhelming presence just out of my sight. I was so scared that I used my sheer focus and will to break the paralysis. Once I was able to move again, I no longer felt the presence or the malice of the creature. I started taking a new sleep medicine after an attempted break-in. I was previously on Ambien, so this medication wasn't supposed to put me in such a susceptible state. However, it did make me feel hyper-aware if I didn't sleep right away, or if I woke up to something in the night. It also can't explain what I saw. After about 2 months, I started seeing a consistent shadow in the corner of my bedroom in the night. I didn't think anything of it at first, but after about 2 weeks of that, I asked my boyfriend if he saw the shadow too. He saw the shadow, but thought it was normal. Then it got weird. I started waking up with that "you're being watched" feeling. I thought I was being paranoid because of the break-in attempt, and would sometimes check the doors and look out of the windows at night. Nothing and no one. Things soon changed. The window changed to the shape of a woman. The best I can describe it was the girl from The Ring mixed with the Yoko Ono. I stopped taking the meds so often in case those were causing hallucinations, but slowly she came closer. About every week, what I refer to as dead Yoko Ono got maybe a foot closer from her spot in the corner. It started making me freak out. I was waking up my boyfriend, and it got to the point of him getting freaked out by me seeing this. It wasn't sleep paralysis, and it wasn't the meds. So how was I seeing this? I pretty much destroyed my sleep schedule for the next month and a half. One morning I woke up, and there she was, basically standing over my boyfriend, who was sound asleep in bed. I flipped out and shook him and buried my face in him. I told him what had happened. He was actually speechless because of how specifically I could describe her. Luckily, I was going to move out in about a month later, so we started staying at his place more. But since I didn't have any roommates and I have cats to take care of, we were pretty much always at my place. I haven't seen her since I left that place. I even went back to the sleep meds when I stayed in my parents' haunted basement and in my very ghetto apartment in the city. She was never a sleep paralysis demon. I don't know why I saw her, and I've never had an experience like that, but I have no way to explain it. It's still one of the reasons I can't sleep a normal schedule, but I often wonder if any of the new tenants there ever saw her.
This happened to me and my cousin in 2019 on Halloween night. There's a rumored insane asylum that was here in San Marcos, California back in the day. I don't remember what year it was here, but that's the rumor. Rumor has it that this insane asylum down Quest Haven Road burnt down and some white lady or lady in white, whatever you want to call it, got caught in the fire and died in the Elfin Forest. Supposedly, people could see her apparitions and even see other weird things in the Elfin Forest where the insane asylum once was. A lot of people go down there on Halloween because of these rumors. It's a windy road that actually starts off in a very expensive, rich neighborhood, but the further you go, you end up in the outskirts in the hills in the forest. It's a dead-end road, which ends at some weird church fence called Quest Haven. It's some community. I've done some research about it, and it seems very cultish if you want my honest opinion about it. There's rumors of people that dance around rings of fire, and they have even white sculptures of some lady in white somewhere on the property. How is that Christian? Don't ask me. The weirdest thing about it is, if you step too close to that fence, to the entryway to their church community, they have spotlights that go off that are motion sensor. I ask you, what church has spotlight motion sensor lighting? What are they trying to keep out? Or what are they trying to keep in? Fast forward, my cousin and I drive down. We park the car and get out, and we start walking around in the woods. We have our flashlights, and we even have a couple of pocket knives just in case if we run into any coyotes and whatnot. We walk down the dirt trail that's right beside the fencing. The dirt trail is almost like some type of horse trail, to be honest with you. I don't know how deep into the woods we went, but eventually we started spooking each other out because we started hearing some really weird noises. About an hour later, we just give up because we started psyching each other out, and we get back to his vehicle, disappointed that we didn't find the burnt down insane asylum because we had no idea where it actually was. We had concluded that the remains of that building were probably on the church property, because where we were, it was just too thick a forest for any large type of building to be at. Disappointed, we got into his vehicle and we started driving up the windy road to exit the woods. At the top of that hill, we were smoking our cigarettes and we had the windows down. The radio was turned off and we were just chilling. Right before we made that left-hand turn to go back into the community is when we heard it. It sounded like it was in the vehicle right behind us. We heard the laughter of a woman or a child. I don't know, it just scared the crap out of us. We both froze. My cousin looked down at the radio, as did I. Yes, the radio was turned off. There was nobody in sight. We're in complete darkness. There's no streetlights down here. When we both had realized that the radio was turned off, he floored the vehicle and we got the hell out of there as fast as we could, never to return.